We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 187, ALCS preview. Scott, when I booked my trip to San Diego, which is where I am right now, 2.5 months ago, I did not think it would be conflicting with the ALCS.
Yeah, no, that was definitely not on our radar at that point. Maybe it should have been. Maybe we should have seen this coming. Who knows? But no, we tried to go a little bit into the series last show after the game. But it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and we weren't sure if we were going to win that game, so we didn't have a ton of information. Now we are ready to go, loaded with information, ready to get this out so that you guys can listen before the game. So yeah, this is kind of a bonus episode for ALCS preview because we can't get enough podcasting, apparently.
You know what it was with the previewing the Houston series coming up on the last episode? I put some notes in there, but I didn't want to jinx it. Because if you put too much information on the Houston Astros, then you're getting ahead of yourself. And then it would have been all for naught, and the Indians would have ended up winning Game 5. So I think I really played a big hand in the Yankees winning Game 5 by not putting too much information on the Astros in the show notes.
It's a valid point, and I'm sure that everybody listening is right now is either giving you a slow clap or a silent clap in their head because they're very appreciative that you didn't do that because you are a walking jinx for this entire year on this team. So, yeah, I thank you, and everybody else thanks you too. So,
well, then it's another good thing that I booked this trip and not even was worrying about the ALCS because then if I was, I would have jinxed that as well.
Right. That one, that's a far-fetched jinx, but I see where you're going with that.
So last we spoke, we did not know the Yankees' rotation. We were sort of saying Girardi might start Tanaka game one, or he might hold him for game three back at home where he has much more success. He's ended up going Tanaka game one, Severino game two, Sabathia game three, Sonny Gray game four. So he's keeping Tanaka, Sevy, and CeCe all on regular rest. And Sonny Gray hasn't pitched in like 10 years, pretty much.
Yeah, the dude hasn't pitched in forever. That was the big surprise, I think, for us. We definitely... By the end of the episode last time, we were circling Sonny Gray as the number one starter. I mean, I thought that's the one that made the most sense only because of you look at Tanaka's splits, and I mean, they're night and day. Literally, actually, his splits at night and day are also night and day. But the splits from home and away are glaring. I mean, he has much better success at Yankee Stadium. So that's really why we thought. But I guess Joe thought it was a better idea to keep him on regular rest, which, again, a little head-scratcher. To throw him now and start the series with Tanaka on the road and keep him on regular rest rather than wait for the stadium. So maybe that's something saying more about he didn't want Sonny Gray pitching this game and he felt more comfortable with Tanaka, or he feels more comfortable with Tanaka and how he's throwing right now and just gives them the best opportunity to win. And I kind of don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I agree with the move to keep everyone on regular rest except Sonny Gray, because no matter what, Sonny Gray was going to be off his rest, right? Because he pitched game one of the ALDS. So if he pitched game one of the ALCS, that would have been a full 7 days of rest. Right. So yeah, you're pushing him to, I think it's 12 days rest, but he's already off schedule. I'd rather keep three of my four guys on schedule than have everyone thrown off.
And yesterday, Sonny Gray threw a three-inning simulation game at the Trap, or not the Trap, what the hell is this one called? Minute Maid?
Minute Maid. It's,
it might as well be the same
Is it name. Still Minute Maid, or didn't they change it to some oil company or something like that?
Sonny Gray threw a three-inning simulation at the Astrodome, and he so he was able to get some work in, and I'm pretty sure Holiday was actually taking some swings. So Holiday has picked up a bat and has seen live pitching. That's breaking news.
How many guys did Sonny Gray walk in that sim game?
I don't know. I haven't seen the numbers on the sim game. I'm not sure they're going to release how many walks there were.
How many pass balls did Gary Sanchez allow in that sim game?
At least three.
I think that, like I said, this is the right move, but it does also say a lot about Sonny Gray in that he has not pitched well in his last four starts. If you go back to the regular season, his last three starts were not good, and then his game one start against the Indians was not good. And it's because he's walking too many people. So yeah. Girardi is saying, I'd rather go with Tanaka, who pitched great in his last time out on regular rest, and then Severino regular rest, Sabathia, who's been great the whole postseason so far. I just don't have confidence in Sonny Gray. I think it's saying as much about Gray as it is the other guys.
No, I totally agree with that. And I think that the other big thing is that Tanaka has been throwing the ball so well his last two starts. I mean, Girardi was quoted. I saw a quote somewhere. I have it in the notes here. And he's basically saying that the sharpness on the split and the slider, and that was one of the defining factors why he chose Tanaka. And when you're looking at what he, you know, what he, how he was throwing over the past two, I mean, I totally agree. He's been very, very sharp on these last two starts. So, you know, if we're taking the equation of where he's actually throwing the ball, I mean, the mound is the same, the distance is the same. Hopefully he could tune all that out and act like he's at Yankee Stadium. I mean, it is a big ballpark. That does bode well for Tanaka in that sense, where, you know, hopefully he can kind of play to the stadium as well. But it's hard to disagree with this, because I think at this point, when you're looking at playoffs, sometimes you just got to throw these splits and all these other things out the window, because one, you're looking at what those starts were, and Tanaka is a completely different pitcher right now than he was in the beginning of the season. And the beginning of the season numbers are playing into those splits as well. So you're almost taking, you know, a Michael Pineda approach at those splits when you're looking at them and trying
exactly
to decipher what's what.
What do you do with Tanaka's one start of the season against Houston, which came on May 14th after the Derek Jeter ceremony, where he pitched 1 2/3 innings, gave up 4 home runs and 8 earned runs? What do you do with that? Like, you can't use that to evaluate now pitching in October. That was so horrendous. That was the worst start of Tanaka's career with the Yankees. So what do you can't use that into a decision. You got to use recent stuff versus that.
Yeah, you got to use recent stuff and almost like doing comps. You know what I mean? Like, you got to take what's surrounding almost the mean and then throw out the high and the lows, because at least a couple of them, because they're just going to throw off all the numbers look like. I do have some weird, maybe bad news. I don't know. I'm not liking the way this is playing out, honestly, but the fact that he did get shelled on Derek Jeter Day, May 14th, you said it was 8 earned runs, 4 home runs. I'm pretty sure, what's his face? The young kid.
Bregman.
Bregman, thank you. Hit a grand slam.
Isn't Bregman also from Jersey or the New York area? Wasn't that kind of like a homecoming for him?
I don't remember. Maybe.
Keep talking. I'm looking that up.
Okay. So the news that we all know by now, if you're on Twitter or anywhere on social media, today is also the anniversary of the flip play. Yet another Derek Jeter reference on the day of Tanaka pitching against the Astros. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying little footnote right there. But Derek Jeter's been circling the news lately. He's not on the team anymore. Now he's creating bad juju. I don't like it.
So I was close. I said Bregman's from New Jersey. He's from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Very close.
But he was a huge Derek Jeter fan, which I think is why he wears number 2. I believe that's why, obviously,
there was an interview in the dugout beforehand, I think, yeah. They were talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think what Girardi's looking at here is that I'm going with the guys who have confidence right now, and I think that's totally the right move. If you were to hold, first of all, if you were going to pitch Tanaka in Houston, you might as well do it in game 1 to keep him on regular rest. What's the point of moving him to game 2? So it was either game 1 or game 3.
Well, yeah, and also you're definitely getting now 2 starts out of Tanaka, and the second one would be at home. So you're looking
game
at
game 5
if necessary, in parentheses. But the and that's the game I'll be at, actually. That's the game I have tickets for, which is good. That's a good thing, right?
No, Tanaka, you have tickets for game 4.
I have tickets for game 4. You're right. It's the second home game.
We could get tickets for game 5. If you're going to be in New York, we'll get tickets for game 5.
Yeah, maybe I'll get tickets for that too. But yeah, I think getting him another start at Yankee Stadium is part of the decision too, because, you know, if he's to hold him back, then he's going to be on the road again. So, you know, I'm circling it. I'm like, I see what people are talking about when they're like, I don't want to see Tanaka in game 1. But who do you want? I mean, do you want Sonny Gray? Because there's no way you have confidence in Sonny Gray. So at that point, when that's the decision, because you're not bumping up Severino at this point, you want either Tanaka or Sonny Gray in the start. And I'm leaning Tanaka, right? I mean, that's the guy who's hot right now.
It's the good move. It's the move I would have made. And if you're Tanaka, also, I think his opt-out clause is playing a factor with how he's motivated to pitch extra good right now. Yes, he wants to win. Yes, he wants to pitch well in the playoffs. But if he finishes this postseason strong, I think he's definitely opting out.
I mean, I think he's opting out right now. I think he showed enough in the second half of the season. Well, what were the numbers we said? Since June 30, I think, on, he was, you know, pretty much regular Tanaka with a couple blips, but
he was like 90% of Tanaka in the last two and a half months of the season.
Yeah, and absolutely showed, you know, flashes of being that dominant guy. So I think at this point, unless there's you know, something crazy, or they're realizing that the market is not going to be what they hope it is, which I doubt that's the case. I still see him opting out at this point. The interesting thing is do the Yankees look at what just happened in the second half? And if he does have good playoff starts, now what? What are you looking at if he's opting out? Totally different podcast, totally different day.
Yeah, quickly, here's the thing now with the Yankees is that because they're making a deep playoff run, they're going to be tempted to bring the team back. If Tanaka opts out and he plays a big part in getting them to the ALCS or hopefully a World Series, they're not going to let him walk away at that point because they're saying we're so close, we can taste it right now. So
yeah, no, it's true. You know, they'll have to look at how that's going to be adding into the total, you know, number of the salary cap, but the money, so that they can see what the luxury tax looks like. Because they're still talking about that. I mean,
they're still talking about getting under it.
That's conversations that are happening currently. They're talking about getting under it, and that's obviously the game plan, and they're sticking to it. So,
but it'll be interesting. That was before the Yankees beat the Indians in the ALDS. If Steinbrenner's saying, "Oh, this is a World Series team right now," fuck the salary cap. I'm just gonna spend so we can win that World Series.
Yeah, because that's the big revenue right there. The revenue winning the World Series trumps anything going on with the even if it's, you know, a ridiculous amount of millions of dollars for the luxury. Yeah.
A World Series championship with all these young kids on the roster, Steinbrenner is going to be dreaming of money signs.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's just cha-ching happening all over the place. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. But
let's look at the other side of this game. Keuchel, the Yankees kryptonite, the old Yankees kryptonite, not the new Yankees kryptonite. We don't know if he's their kryptonite at this point. But if you look at the numbers of all the Yankees versus Keuchel, they're all ugly, just like they were all ugly versus Kluber. So the Yankees hit Kluber in two starts. So why can't they hit Dallas Keuchel in the ALCS?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is when you're looking at Keuchel, I mean, he dominated the last couple teams. When the Yankees, in his career, six starts, 44 innings pitched, seven earned runs. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's a 1.41 ERA, 45 strikeouts. So he's averaging a strikeout and an inning. He's not the biggest strikeout guy, but he's, you know, the Yankees have seen this guy. This is what I was talking about before we went into that game five against Cleveland, is that Cleveland was throwing a lot of this very similar style pitchers where you're not seeing that over-dominant fastball guy. You're not seeing that guy. You're not seeing that Severino. You're seeing more guys that are, you know, low to mid 90s, but can locate their off speed and throw a lot of off speed, and will throw it at in any count, and that's what you're seeing with Keuchel as well. So, you know, I think if anything, they're more geared up to this type of pitcher because they've seen a similar style pitcher, you know, over the past series. So you've got to take that into account, because to me, that's you're looking at guys that are very similar and know how to change speeds really well. That's going to prepare you better for Keuchel.
But the Yankees struggle with pitchers like that, especially a crafty lefty like Keuchel who can locate on the outside half.
Everybody struggles with guys like that now.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is you got Verlander going game two, who's just pumping fastballs and hard sliders up there. The Yankees are more equipped to face a guy like Verlander than they are Keuchel. But to your point, like you just said, they faced all these kind of Keuchel-esque guys in the DS. So hopefully they can have some confidence going into him. But what it's going to come down to is how to Judge and Sanchez look against Dallas Keuchel. Because lefty on righty, those two batters absolutely stunk in the ALDS. What were the numbers? 5 for 43, was it? 5
Something
for 43
horrible.
With two homers.
Judge struck out 97 times.
Yeah, 5 for 43 with 97 strikeouts. The two homers were both by Sanchez. The only big hit in the series that Judge had was the double in game 4.
Big hit.
Side note, big hit. But you can count on one hand the number of times he put the ball in play.
Right.
And Keuchel, who's throwing off-speed junk, low in the zone, curveballs, changeup, sliders, it's going to be imperative that Judge and Sanchez don't swing at that shit. If they're not swinging at it, I think the Yankees offense will be fine against Keuchel. If the big right-handed batters are chasing those pitches, I think they're gonna struggle. And if you're looking at the numbers, the only guy with success is Chase Headley, relative success, 273 average versus Keuchel. We had said, oh, maybe Holiday will finally get an opportunity to play lefty going in game one, but maybe the only way that's going to happen, because Headley's going to be in the lineup with those numbers.
If Headley plays first.
That's the only way that Holiday's going to get in the lineup, because Girardi, for as much as I think that after game two, he threw away the binder and started to manage a little bit more with his instincts, He's still going to go by the numbers in a lot of situations. That's why Jacoby Ellsbury was in the game five starting lineup, because he had success against Corey Kluber. And Girardi's going to look at the binder, and Chase Headley has success against Keuchel, so I'm penciling his name in there. So Greg Bird is going to have to sit if we want to see Matt Holliday in the lineup, and I'm not sure I'm prepared to sit Greg Bird.
No, not for a guy that's completely unexpected just for that lefty-righty matchup. And just so you guys all know, too, when you're listening to this, hopefully it's before the game, but we're recording around noontime, around lunchtime, so we don't have the lineups out yet. So just keep that in mind when we're talking about this stuff. We haven't seen the lineups and what Girardi's actually doing. They just released the ALCS roster, but not the lineup for the game tonight. But yeah, that's the only way it happens. And you know, I just don't see it happening. And the reason is because Bird has just been very good over the past month since he's been back. And the righty lefty, I mean, he did hit a home run off of a big lefty, and there's no better lefty than Andrew Miller.
Like,
he's proved that he can hit a left-handed pitcher out of the ballpark. So
yeah, and he's a better defensive first baseman than Chase Headley.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah, I don't see that happening. I'd be very surprised if he were to do that.
Yeah, does Joe look at moving Judge down in the order?
I mean, you got to look at it. You know, I don't know how much it would be, a spot or two. It would not be a big drastic move. Don't expect something like, you know, Judge moving to seven. That ain't happening.
Well, no, I don't think he's going to move to three or four. So if he's moved out of the second hole, I think it's going to be six or seven.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go that low. So no.
Especially with the lefty on the mound.
I mean, I think people were looking at also if you're talking about, especially with the lefty, right, but maybe Aaron Hicks moving up in lineup. He's been relatively good. That was a guy that could be circled as a potential two-hole guy. I don't know.
I've always liked Hicks in the two-hole because of his versatility, and he gets on base. He makes pitchers work.
He does. I just don't think that this is the time. It's completely uncharacteristic for Joe Girardi to go against a guy that's been as good as Judge has all year long. I don't care if he's a rookie. He's got that little bit of clout in the clubhouse at this point. I believe that Girardi does have his back on that, and I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he would do it to Judge.
Well, moving him down, I don't think is a big deal. He's not sitting him. I'm not asking.
No, but he doesn't even move people down. He it's not characteristic of him in big games like this to move guys out of their normal spots. He just doesn't do it. He believes that guys rebound. That's one of his core beliefs. And you know, most of the time I kind of agree with that. It's just Judge has looked so lost lately.
It's the guessing at the plate.
It's not even guessing. He's looking too much for the off-speed pitch early, and he's swinging at it. And unfortunately, he needs to just lay off of it and sit fastball. Didi Gregorius was talking about earlier in one of the interviews after he hit those two home runs. And he was talking about, I think he was talking with Meredith Marakovic about this and just his general approach. He looks for fastballs. That's what his approach is. He looks and seeks fastballs. A-Rod was looking for fastballs his entire career. You can do this in the major leagues. You can spit on curveballs and off-speed things outside the zone. Even if they're in the zone, who cares? Don't swing at them. Look fastball. And Judge really does need to take that approach, especially now, because they're going to be peppering him. Make them throw that for a strike.
I have to imagine the strikeouts in the division series were getting in his head, because he struck out, what was it, 16 times in 20-something at-bats? It was ridiculous. He set a record for a single series of postseason strikeouts. Keep in mind, this was a 5-game series, not a 7-game series. Record in baseball history.
Was it 3 golden sombreros? I think it was 4 four strikeout games. That's a platinum sombrero. I don't even know what the hell you... Is that a turkey? What is it? That's a turkey of sombrero, of golden sombreros.
That's a turducken. That's a turducken.
It's an insane amount. It's a Mexican turducken. It's crazy. That's a lot of strikeouts. He needs to stop swinging at that pitch. It's very clear that he can't hit it.
It's a good thing that the MVP votes do not factor in the playoffs, because right now Jose Altuve, who hit 530 in the division series and absolutely murdered the Red Sox, would be locking up the MVP race.
Oh yeah, there's no question about it. He would be the guy, far and away, just because of what's happening.
It's fitting that the two leading MVP candidates are now facing off. Their teams are facing off in the championship series. I think.
Oh no, absolutely. I think that's fitting. I think it's awesome.
Yeah,
I think it's a good look too. I think it's a very good look. You have two good teams, two guys who, you know, are clear and away the two front runners, and now their teams are there. I mean, I think that's a good look for baseball, saying that, hey, these are the two MVPs, and look where their teams are.
Quick, because I saw some quotes that the Indians lost that DS. Obviously, the Yankees aren't thinking that. The Yankees are thinking we came back and won it. But what did you think about people saying that?
I think they're. What are they looking at? Are they looking at the same freaking series? Because the Yankees almost gave it away.
That's what I said. The Yankees should have won in four.
Stupid. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Kipnis was quoted as saying that we still feel like we're the better team. They just played better in the series. And I'm like, yeah, that's the whole fucking point.
That is the exact point of being better for that series.
That's baseball, Kipnis.
Go work on your technique on how to throw a ball from center field and lift a couple weights, bro.
Game two, Severino versus Verlander. Severino's stats this season against Houston, also not good. Most pitcher stats against Houston this year across the league, not good, because their offense is freaking ridiculous. But Sevy started two games, so 7 2/3 innings total, 10.57 ERA, which is 9 earned runs. His first start came in game one of the doubleheader on Derek Jeter Day. So just all in all, Derek Jeter Day, not a good day.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't want us to talk about it or say it. But it's there, all right? It's got to be. I feel like this is like talking into a no-hitter. I'm going to identify the no-hitter because it's happening against us. So I'm going to call it out and really just hope that we can be me calling it out can get rid of all the bad thing, all the bad juju.
Did you also see that this was the series against Cleveland was the first playoff series the Yankees won since Derek Jeter was on the team?
Yeah, and I thought I saw something about the last one. When Derek Jeter was on the team for every series until the last one before that was 81, I think.
Holy shit.
If I remember correctly. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I could be wrong with that. If I'm wrong, call me out, but I think I'm right.
No, that seems right because the only other playoffs was 95 and they lost in the division series to Seattle and then 96 through Jeter's career. So that sounds right to me.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous amount when you think about the storied franchise of the New York Yankees.
You're not going to like this, but A-Rod's been more on this team than Jeter's with the Marlins now. He's the day the Yankees were playing the wild card game, Jeter put out that whole thing on the Players Tribune about how he's going to turn the Marlins into a competitive team and a winning franchise. It's like you couldn't have put that out yesterday, Jeter. I think that was on purpose. And you got A-Rod on Fox flashing his World Series ring and doing the thumbs down shit.
Dude, A-Rod is driving me insane. First of all, you know he's getting paid $20 million for his opinion right now, right? By the New York Yankees. So the reason he's talking all this shit is because he has to. I don't think A-Rod has an opinion.
He's a homer. Okay, if there's ever a homer, it's A-Rod. A-Rod
is a homer. He's getting paid $20 million plus to be a homer. Of course he's a homer.
I think it's $27
million. Okay, it's so stupid. The fact that he's on there with his World Series rings makes me want to just jump through the TV and punch him in the face.
What's annoying
is I can't stand him wearing a stupid thumb down shirt either.
He keeps flashing the World Series ring upside down. Can someone tell him to turn the fucking thing over?
Yeah, he's so annoying. Some people love A-Rod. I cannot handle him. I think his personality on these pregame and post games is so annoying. Most annoying person. It's like nails on a chalkboard to me the way he talks.
So for Severino, he had two starts. The first one was terrible in Yankee Stadium. He got knocked out in the third inning. The Yankees ended up coming back and winning that game. And then the Yankees lost his start in Houston July 2nd. He pitched 5 1/3 innings, gave up 9 hits and 6 earned runs. He did strike out, I believe, 7 guys. You almost got to throw those splits out as well because Severino...
let's just throw away. Anything that we see bad, we're going to throw that shit away. Well,
here's why. Because as good as Severino was... he was solid in the first half, but he turned it up in the second half. And those two starts against Houston came in the first half of the season. His numbers were just okay in the first half.
Yeah, no, I mean he definitely matured and got better as the season went on. So that's definitely a consideration. You got to. I mean, when you look at this team and the way that the pitching staff was in the first half and the second half, specifically Tanaka and then Severino, I mean these guys turned it up. Sabathia was pretty much the same guy the entire time, and then nobody else was there. Sonny Gray wasn't on the team. Everybody else is hurt. So you're looking at these guys, and you're right. When you're looking at when they played Houston, that doesn't mean a whole lot. Does mean that they were able to see him, and just kind of at least get that perspective of being at the dish against him. So that's something. It goes into the memory bank. But to me, he's a different guy. A lot more confident now.
And Houston's got Verlander going in game two. Good news, bad news on Verlander. The good news is that the Yankees have a ton of experience against him. If you look at the players at-bat total. They've had 113 total at-bats against Justin Verlander. So the sample size is there. A lot of these guys, all the veterans, have seen him a number of times. The rookies haven't seen him, like Judge and Sanchez. Those guys haven't really faced him, but I'm looking at the numbers right now. Gardner's had 26 at-bats against him. Ellsbury, 27 at-bats. So there's a lot of at-bats there. That's the good news, they have experience. The bad news is Verlander has been absolutely on fire since he came over to the Astros. He looks like he was reinvigorated by that trade.
He really does. He looks like he got into another young team that's on the up and up and really relished it. So they're, he's thrown really well. You look at his stuff, the fastball is still there. He's still in the high 90s. He's still got that good off-speed pitch. He's a dangerous guy. He's a big game pitcher too. He's the guy I likened him to Sabathia during our last show, because to me they feel like a similar makeup in the sense that he wants the ball in the big moments. And the last time we saw him in a very big moment was 2012, and he came out pretty damn good through eight and a third, pitched into the ninth inning. I think the only thing he gave up was a solo shot to Nooney and got taken out. But he dominated the Yankees in a big moment. In the 2012 ALCS. So it's ironic that we're seeing him again in another ALCS, but now with Houston. So their top two are good, and they have both of those guys have very good numbers against the Yankees. So you know damn well they're coming in at least confident, saying that, hey, we face this team. We know what they're like. We know this team is a competitive team, and their eyes aren't going to be too big. You know what I mean? They're going to be ready for this moment.
Houston, they have to be saying, we need to win the Verlander and the Keuchel starts, because the back half of their rotation is inexperienced and not nearly as good. They're still TBD on the starters in games 3 and 4, whereas the Yankees are going to have Sabathia, who has all of the experience in the world and who looks like he is absolutely loving every second of this postseason run, and Sonny Gray looking to bounce back at home, and then possibly Tanaka in a game 5. So I think there's pressure right now on the Astros to get those two wins with Verlander and Keuchel, because they know they don't want, if those two pitchers aren't pitching well and winning those games, they're screwed. Because if this is a bullpen series, or if this is a messy series like the Yankees made it with the Indians, the Yankees have such an advantage in the bullpen.
Well, that, and also the fact that they're going back home playing 3 games. We know the home field advantage.
3-0 at Yankee Stadium so far.
If you split one on the road in this series, this is why I actually don't like the way that they have it set up, because I think it does give the advantage to the visiting team.
Or you think it should be the 1-1-1 like in the NBA?
No, I think it should be, you mean at the end.
2-2-2-2-1-1-1.
Yes, and with another day off somewhere in there, because the games at Yankee Stadium are all back-to-back-to-back, right?
Yep.
They're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So you could throw a day off in there, a travel day, to me, with no problem. I was surprised, actually, that they were back-to-back-to-back when I saw the schedule. But yeah, I think it does give the... I mean, it's a good thing for us, no doubt about it, because I think if the Yankees were to steal one of these games in Houston, then, I mean, that's a huge advantage, because now they're going home with experienced starters, like you said, maybe throwing Tanaka a third time for a decisive game if they can win the first two. So there's a lot of very good things. And the Yankees, you know damn well, they're looking at that like, let's just take one. That's the goal. Take one right now. Win one game, go home, and see what we can do. So, it actually lines up better for the Yankees, in my opinion.
I think you and I mentioned this on the last podcast, that the Yankees are playing loose right now. Once they lost those first two games, and the way they lost that game too, something happened with this team where they just said, "Let's screw it. Let's just go out there and see what happens." So they're playing loose right now. Houston has, just like the Indians, Houston has the pressure on them. For once in our baseball watching life, the Yankees are not the favorite, and they're not the team with the pressure.
Yeah, it's so funny. You see all these. I don't know if you've like taken a glance over at like Mets Twitter area. They're so bitter. It's so funny.
I try not to get into that shit.
I just saw it once for like. I looked at it for like 2 minutes. I was like, all right, let me look for like a minute. And I was like, I saw exactly what I was expecting to see. Just bitterness everywhere. And some of the, and it's hysterical. I think it's. I love it. I really do. They have such a complex. I really do. I feel bad for Mets fans, but they come out and you look at exactly what's happening with the underdog thing. Like, yes, they are literally the underdog. Like, Vegas has them as the underdog. So that's what they are. And they're playing that role because why? They're not the big bad Yankees right now. They're a bunch of kids. They're a bunch of kids wearing the pinstripes. And it's a beautiful thing because they're playing with house money, pants on fire. Let's see what happens. And it's great. And nobody wants to see that because everybody else outside Yankee world sees the big bad Yankees. But that's just not who this team is right now.
Yes, exactly. And As far as Houston goes, we know what their strengths are. The offense. They led the league in all the important offensive categories. Correa is a Yankees killer. 384 with 18 RBIs and 6 homers in 19 career games against them. So it's the Yankees starters. It's going to be hard for them to go through that order 3 times in one game just because it's so deep. There's so many good hitters on that team. They got Yuleski Gurriel, who had an amazing series against the Red Sox, batting 7th in that lineup. So it's going to be tough. Be prepared for, I think, some high scoring games, but if you can keep it close, the Yankees have the advantage late in the game with the bullpen. And I think that's what the Yankees need to do to win this series, make it a bullpen series.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to their depth. I mean, they have a bunch of guys, too, that can work the count. I mean, Altuve will hit a home run off of you in the first pitch, but will grind out a 3-2 at bat. You have no idea what this guy's going to do. He's such a good hitter. And you look up and down that lineup, they have just quality hitters, guys who can hit for average. Bregman was a number one draft pick, I believe. And then Gurriel, who's, I mean, you're looking at him and you see rookie, but that's like he's like an Ichiro rookie. He's 33 years old. He played on the Cuban national team for a long time, had a lot of success, was one of the better international players, and then came over. So this guy is not a rookie. Don't be fooled by that, by the look. He's 33 years old, has a ton of experience, and is a very good hitter. So this entire team is dangerous. It really is. You see Bregman, who seems like he's really hitting that stride now. He came up last year, was playing third. I think he's in the outfield now, right? Or maybe he's at third and Gurriel's at first. I don't remember.
Playing third.
So he's a guy that is really just hitting his stride, and he's a pure hitter. Like, this guy can hit everybody. He took Sale deep twice against the Boston series. Correa hit 2 home runs against the Red Sox. They're hitting bombs. Yeah, they're hitting bombs. So that's one thing you got to circle on tonight, because if Tanaka is not down in the zone, he's in big trouble. I mean, he's in big trouble anyway if he's not down in the zone, but against this team, he's in big trouble.
I don't know about you, but it was kind of hard for me in the Cleveland series to hate the Indians, because I was rooting for them anyway in the 2016 playoffs because of the Andrew Miller factor, and I just wanted to see the Cubs keep losing. I thought that was funny. But so it was a little hard to muster up some hate for the Indians. I have no problem mustering up hate for the Astros. First of all, Dallas Keuchel and his hipster beard, I hate that guy. I don't want to see Beltran and McCann win a World Series. I don't want to see them win the ALCS against the Yankees. I don't have anything against them. I just don't want to see it. And it's not going to be hard for me to hate these Houston Astros.
Yeah, I mean, you love to hate people. I was not a fan of the Cleveland Indians, to tell you the truth. Like, those were the guys, like Encarnacion, I got no love lost for that dude.
He's the only one, though.
No, I don't like, what's his face, too? The guy that got hit. The guy that didn't get hit in the hand.
Chisenhall?
I can't think of his name. Thank you.
Chisenhall's a role player. He can't.
He's an asshole. He is a giant asshole. He is a guy, like, listen to some of his stuff. Look him up. He's a giant asshole. He's one of those guys I just can't stand, too. There's some people on there cocky as hell, too. You know, Jose Ramirez coming out with the cupcake lines on Twitter? That team I thought was way more hateable than this team.
Trevor Bauer's hateable as well.
Trevor Bauer's very hateable. I mean, he's
okay,
got that
you
face.
You convinced me.
Yeah.
Screw the Indians. Screw the Astros. I hate everybody.
Yeah. I mean, Cody Allen, he's got a like straight punchable face too. I mean, he's just like one of those straight face guys. Like, make a facial expression. Do something. Can't stand your face. Yeah.
That's
the more
beautiful
I talk about
thing.
Them.
The beautiful thing about the playoffs is because you play them for 5 or 7 straight games every night, such intense pressure. You hate these teams so much. I love it. It's so intense. Yeah. It's so great.
And this team has fire. I mean, George Springer's a local guy. George Springer's the pride of Connecticut. Our horrible Susan Waldman accents. I mean, how many times are you going to hear that if you're listening to the radio broadcast? Tune out of that part of it if you
every time
want
he bats,
to save your ears.
Every time
yeah,
he
just,
hits.
It's going to come up every single time. But I mean, he's a guy that has a lot of fire. He could piss us off real fast. Altuve is a guy that I don't think is going to make anybody mad. You just like tip your cap to that guy. But he may be a bother. Correa, I keep wondering.
He's
going to
be a pain in the ass when he's hitting.
He's
going to
be a pain in the ass.
Sure.
And Correa is really good. I mean, really, really good. So yeah, these guys will infuriate us because of their talent and how good they are. Gurriel, wild card. I could really hate him. And Bregman, I could definitely see. I could definitely hate him.
Okay, so we can hate the entire roster. Good to know. Before we get out of here, just one final thing I want to say to people listening to this podcast. You guys have been awesome as we've been doing these shows every night. We get tweets early in the morning saying, where's the podcast? Where's the podcast? And part of me is like, this is a part-time gig for us. You guys keep bugging us for it, but at the same time, it's awesome to see the passion that people have for what Scott and I are doing. So thank you. Thank you guys for listening. We see the numbers. The show is growing. The playoffs have been huge for us. The ratings and reviews on iTunes have been awesome. And the voicemails have been on fire. We had, 14 minutes of voicemails after the ALDS?
Yeah.
So just, honestly, it's been a few long nights for Scott and I, but well worth it. So thank you. Thank you guys for listening, and hopefully we can keep this going deep into November when the World Series would be going on.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the fans of the show have been awesome. Yankee fans have been awesome. Some of the voicemail, I must say, I don't know, some of you guys sound like you're calling from the pits of hell because there's no service. I thought there was service everywhere in the world now. I don't know. It's pretty crazy.
They must have T-Mobile or something.
Yeah, it's funny. But I try to edit them and make them sound as good as possible. But they're awesome. Like 14 minutes on fire. I love that. I love hearing all of you guys' take. I love hearing all that stuff. It's so much fun. It adds such a cool element to the show. And honestly, it's made it so much more fun too. Just from us talking to the mic. I mean, we have a great time talking baseball. That's why we started this in the first place. It's because we talk Yankee baseball. So like, let's record it. And that's how it kind of started. But now the fact that we have a lot of fan interaction too, from you guys kind of contributing, because you're a big part of the show. It's huge. And it's just going to keep growing. And I know that we'll get more people calling in, and I would love for that segment to just continue to grow. And then, you know, we're always looking for new segments too, and ways to incorporate you guys in more ways. So I love it. It's obviously working, right? So keep calling in, keep listening to the show, because it is working. The Yankees are playing phenomenal baseball right now, and hopefully we can continue it throughout this ALCS and take down Houston.
The one I just thought of, the Amber Alert guy, that was, I think, maybe the funniest one we've ever had.
That one was really good. The other one that fires me up is, I don't have his first name, but the British guy, the one from London, the one the last one.
Yes.
Every time he says boys, like in that accent, makes it just fires me up, man. I swear, I want to listen to that voicemail every day when I wake up and just, you know, I feel like I will attack the day, because I love your accent. And whatever you said, I don't care what you said. You could say the alphabet and it's phenomenal. But keep calling in, please. More British callers. I absolutely want you guys to call in, because it just sounds that much better.
And for all the marriages that Joe Girardi is ruining, just keep calling in, keep venting, and hopefully there's no divorce in the future for you guys, because the Yankees win the World Series. All right, Scott, any last words before we get out of here?
No, I'm ready, man. Tonight's a big night. Hopefully Tanaka can throw the splits out the window. Let's create some new splits there, Tanaka. Big night.
Let's do it. Talk to you guys soon.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes, and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it, and go Yankees.